Amen, guys. Hello. Good afternoon, guys. How are we doing this afternoon? Awesome. We may need to just open some windows in case it's hot. It's getting warm warm here. Can I ask also the guys that are at the door there? We can actually roll up those rollers there and open those doors. Thank you very much. Yes, yes, please. I was looking at you. I know you're having your coffee this afternoon. Great. Awesome. I'm sorry, guys. I'm going to move you slightly here so the guys can at least see what you guys are doing. If I can just introduce our speakers this afternoon, we got you guys got a great treat. You've got great. You still have kids at an awesome age. The nice, wonderful age, right? I know you probably don't feel that way, but trust me, you've got a wonderful age that you've got right now. They are still trying to tell the story, and some of them don't know exactly what the story is and so forth, but it's an awesome age. And I'm really honored to be able to introduce you guys to you guys, the speakers for this afternoon, and that's Steve and Carol Mukenya. I've known these guys for a long time, all the way from Nairobi, Kenya, when they were there. But now they're actually leading the church in Lusaka, Zambia. So you guys have got some very experienced parents this afternoon. They have been through it, and they can tell you some awesome stories together. Amen. Let's give them a round of applause as they come up.
Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for the blessings of children, and thank you for the challenges you give us and how they reveal different things we need to do differently. Father, as we focus on you, be with the class today that we will learn a lot and just honor you and glorify you in what we do as we parent our children. It is in the name of our Lord Jesus that I pray and believe. Amen. Okay. Well, my wife and I have been married 16 years. And we have two children. Chelsea is 12 and Stephanie is 7. And they're all girls. And so we'll be talking about this topic. And I want to encourage you just to have a good time. I know grounding children is a very important time of the children. We will look at different things that we can do differently. And it's very practical. So we will try to make it as practical as it can be. But to start us off is just want to talk about grounding children. There's a lot you can do at this stage that will make the child's life different way after you're gone. Miss this time and you have between now and 10 years and you're either holding it together or it's really going to go the wrong direction. So I just want to encourage you. And I'm sorry about the technology. I can see everybody's trying to sit down below. But I'll try to talk about everything. So that you don't have to strain so much, you can just write stuff down. Because for some reason, they can't raise that up anymore, and that's the farthest we can. And there's a scripture down below. So just understand that, do not say that, oh, my kid is far, I'll catch up with them. This is the most crucial part of raising children. You're doing a lot of damage or a lot of good. Now, the beauty of it is that you can always change a lot of things at this stage. So don't feel bad if you've damaged stuff. You can always. And we are always damaging stuff because nobody's perfect. But overall, a disciple does a greater job. You're going to do a greater job compared to where you came from. Because you know a lot. Our dads and moms, most of them didn't get anything in this direction. So let's look at Matthew 7 and get going. In Matthew 7, verse 24. Through 25, it says, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house and on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house. Yet it did not fall down, did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. The question is always, when do you begin? When do you start getting on with this issue? We'll really look at that in a moment. But it's never too late to even start before they're born. To pray about God to give you the wisdom. Because you've never been a parent before. And then you're starting. And you've never been a parent of a five-year-old. Or you've never... You know, we're all starting somewhere. I'm a parent of 12. I've never been a parent of 12 years. So I'm learning. I cannot insist on... I know it's done. So you pray because it's a first-time experience. And if you go with that spirit in mind, it works very well. If you go with the spirit, how was it done to me? You're in trouble. Because things are changing pretty fast. And much knowledge has come to the fore to understand how you raise a 0 to 5 years. All right, let's look at this. Let's introduce this. Who we become as adults is determined by the foundation we receive in our formative years. There's so much information, science, looking at child development, and they can tell you that if you raise them this way, they're going to end up here. If you raise them that way, they're going to end up there. How you raise them is very important. Now, I know there's culture, there's everything. I have no quarrel with that, but there's a lot of knowledge you can get just to help you raise your child in such a way to get a certain place. If you're always yelling, you can tell by how they're coping very early, and you'll see, tell where they're going to go eventually. And you can tell a lot of things as just you walk with them. If you raise healthy children right from the start, then you'll have healthy adult children. The problems we see today is really back there. So that's why sometimes when people go for counseling, they're trying to go, okay, how did you grow up? That's always the first question up, right? So please realize that when children are really stressed out, they're not going to have a problem with the preacher. They have a problem with the parent. How they raised me, how they talked to me, how they were. They ask you, what is your memory as a young kid? It was really bad. And okay, we got to go that. Or it was very nice. And that's where everything all starts going forward, okay? So there are three key personal foundations of being a great parent. What are the key things? One, a growing walk with God. When children come, the biggest thing that dies quickly is your walk with God. Please fight for that. We want to fight for that. We went through the same thing. We're doing fine for 4 years. When the first child came, it was really a swinging and a diving time. But what saved us is we were very much in the scriptures and talking about our fights, and that helps you. We're not saying perfection. We're saying get help as you're going through it, because it's always a game changer when you're not used to having kids and all of a sudden they're there and they're taking a lot of time. So do not sacrifice your walk with God. Don't feel guilty that you're reading the Bible at midday because you did not sleep the whole night. You follow that? Get on with it when the time allows. Let's get on with it because you couldn't sleep the whole night. Sometimes it's just going to happen that you didn't sleep the whole night. So don't sacrifice the walk with God and feel like I'm feeling guilty. Just get on with it. If it's midday, get there and start studying the scriptures. Go forward if you didn't sleep the whole night. Another thing is a healthy marriage. Sometimes the babies come and we'll touch that and marriage dies out. You don't spend time together. You don't have family days. And all you do is baby, 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 baby. And the men start feeling ignored, and this baby and that baby. And depending on how you grew up, you can have baby fog. When our first daughter came, I think I didn't sleep for like 3 months properly. I remember driving home, and I slept on the steering. And I hit a curb, and that's when I woke up, and thank God nobody was around me. So I talked to some brother and says, you're having baby fog, because I always slept thinking, what's going to happen to my kid? But because I'm not sleeping properly, you can imagine our conversation with my wife. We're firing hard words. So figure it out. Don't blame the baby. Figure out what's happening to you. You do better if you take responsibility that this is happening to me since the baby came, and stop blaming the gift that came and says, this is, deal with the man in the mirror and everything else, or the woman in the mirror, it comes on well. And then it goes, and then the other thing that will help you, the third thing is a heart hungry to learn and grow. Read a lot, okay? Seek God and guidance, and also get input from those who have gone before us. Reading will save you a lot of issues. Children are so different. One develops this way, another one will do this. Read and read. It's a good time to read because when they're awake, you can be reading stuff. Short stories to figure it out, and you begin to get input as you go forward. It helps you to walk away from anxiety parenting to knowing parenting. Anxiety parenting is neurotic in nature, and you're always never sure of what you're doing. But if you know, you really tend to be calm. If the child is crying because of whatever things, you know why they're crying. It helps you to do a better job.
Amen. It's really a privilege, I think, to have an opportunity to be parents, and especially in God's kingdom, because we have a lot of just wisdom and just advice and help, and it just makes it so much easier, you know. And I'm really, really, truly grateful, first of all, to be a disciple, but then also to be married to someone that's committed to really walking that path and to growing and to really seeing how we can do it better. And I mean, just like Steve said, you know, when our first daughter came, it was a very challenging time for us. We had just made a move. We were in Ethiopia, then we had just moved back to Nairobi, and it was really, really challenging. And I think what really saved me was just constantly being open as a woman, you know, just about what we were going through and talking about just the challenges we were having in our marriage, and also just, you know, making sure that I was talking about my life and my sin and exactly what was going on, and just getting that input. And I look at parenting now, you know, from this point, you know how you always wish that you could go back and do it all over again? You know, that's honestly how I feel. So I feel like you're at that stage right now, that you can actually do it well and do it best. Actually, back then, I don't think we had so many classes and so many opportunities to just learn about parenting. It just came as we, you know, as we just got help in our discipling. But I know Steve and I have just had an opportunity to have several training, even just to help us. We had a chance to do schema therapy that really helped us to go back into our lives and to see who we truly are. And in all of that, I mean, I just felt very sad because I saw many mistakes that I made when my kids were younger, and I just wished I could go back and undo that, because at the end of the day, I've been able to understand that, you know, whoever I am today has a lot to do, obviously, with God. I think when we become disciples, God is able to erase all that and change all that and make us new. But then there's a lot of things and areas in our characters and our lives that really are there instilled because of how we were raised up. And even doing several classes in Zambia with the women there, women of worth, and just sitting down and talking, and women are talking and pouring out their hearts and crying because either the parents were there or they were not there or they were harsh. And just seeing the effect of parenting really makes me just go flat on my knees and just really just beg for God's help and for the most input that I can be able to have and assistance on just how to be the best mom. So this really is the best time. I know a lot of us talk about the teen time, you know, when our kids become teens, and that's like, you know, the focus time. But I do believe it begins right here, because as little as they are, you know, there's still ways that we can still be able to impact them in a godly way.
Fantastic. Teach them God's word, okay? This is 2 Timothy 3. We may turn there if you have a Bible. Read together. Yeah, you can teach small kids God's word by singing to them, reading stories, even if they're not paying attention as much. They hear stuff. How do they learn to speak? You just keep talking to them, right? Yeah. How do they learn this stuff? So they have a way of learning that you and I have not deciphered yet, that kids learn even though they don't talk back. So it's good to read stories in a very animated way, have fun, brief stuff. Mommy does most of the work at this time, but Dad, get involved as well, all right? Get to touch the baby when you get home, to sit with them and have, just, you know, have conversations. It's very important how the dynamics of how you're raising your child is not just what you're saying to them, but it's also how you're relating together in your marriage. Let's look at 2 Timothy chapter 3. Are you there? It just reads in verses 14 that, but as for you, continue in what you've learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it, and from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is God's breath and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. It actually talks about from infancy. From infancy. So you really can talk about God to your children from infancy. And small things, being there with them, but making sure that you are together with your spouse, you talk about things. There's not much correction going on at a very early age, but as they get to their 5 years, we'll be catching up with all that. But you can talk about God and start praying about that child. I'll give you a story. There's a brother who prayed a specific prayer and said, I'd like God for you to give me a child that will sleep the whole night. And the child was born and the child slept the whole night. They didn't have to wake up and run around. Some of us never prayed that prayer and we paid the price. We were on the brink of death until guys were coming from banks, and I'm like, my goodness, what's going on? And there's power in praying for your children. There's power in talking about Scripture when they're there, when they're listening, and they're very little, you can still talk about it. And as they come to the age where they can grasp pictures, it's good to talk about that, okay? So start to pray. Pray in Scriptures for your children as early as before and during conception, okay? Just like Hannah did it, and that's how she got Samuel. Do not ignore prayer. Pray for your kids, and if they're already born, keep praying for them, okay? Children learn by seeing a role model of godly speech and attitudes in the environment. You may think you can say anything you want to do, show anything on TV. They are getting it from that time. That time they're getting it. You better turn things around. I mean, from the time the kids were born, we had to switch our music around and all kind of stuff. We said, okay, this is what we have to do because our children need to be in a home that is children friendly. Does that make sense? And so it's important you ask yourself, am I modeling? God cannot be mocked. You know that scripture? What you sow in this in your life will eventually come out with the kids. And so it's important to start from day one and have an attitude, the speech you talk to one another, how you speak to one another. I mean, kids can start crying if there's tension between you two. And you go to the doctor and they say the child is fine. We've checked everything possible, the child is fine. They might, if you have a guy that understands says, how are you doing in your marriage, you'll figure, you guys are fighting. And she feels the tension or he feels the tension. And he's whining to try to get you guys to agree. Okay? Use children-friendly Bibles to teach. I think this can always begin as early as they begin to. These are bright colors, easy to look at. And as they start mumbling, you start putting those pictures out to play with them. Some people even have the smallest of them and they play with them as long as they can swallow it. You know, it's small, but they can play with it. They'll see pictures and they'll start remembering a lot of things. It's very important you do that, and it will help us to see how that environment changes. So use child-friendly. Just invest, look around. They're age-appropriate. They always have labeled them this age, and you can buy that for your child, and you can always. This is an easy time to do any devotions because you don't even take long. You have to be where you are. It works very easy. It's amazing when you do that. Use scriptures as you train your and discipline children. As they grow up, make sure that you always talk about what would God want you to do. So talk about God. In a child-friendly environment, don't talk about God like you're talking to an adult. And if you don't know how, the Bibles you buy for them can guide you. Because these are professionals. They designed these Bibles for these kids. Just by reading those Bibles, your mind will click on so quickly to figure out, oh, this is how you communicate to a two-year-old, to a three-year-old, to a five-year-old, to, 4-year-old. And that's a very energetic level. Once they hit between ages 2 to 5, they're jumping, they're exploring, they're doing all kinds of things. That's just time of growing. If you keep beating them down, you may be doing the wrong thing. Provide the environment to explore. Don't beat them down all the time. Okay?
When I got my kids, I felt like I needed to get baptized again. And because, you know, so much about us really comes out. And I think it's really a great opportunity for us to grow. And like we said at the beginning, you know, parenting all goes back to us, you know, who we are as parents. And I just want to encourage the moms, you know, just from the moment we conceive, because I know we are saying 0 to, you know, to 5, so it actually begins at conception. And I think us just having an attitude that really deeply holds on to God's word. And I think when we are expecting, I think the greatest scripture to hold on to is Galatians 5, you know, from 22, the fruit of the Holy Spirit, and really growing in those fruits, and really asking God to fill us up with joy, asking God to fill us up with love, asking God to fill us up with patience. And these are the kinds of things that honestly we're going to be passing on to our children, because they totally say that when you're happy, when you're expecting, then you are going to get a happy baby. But if you're grumpy and complaining, then most likely you're going to get, you know, a baby who is constantly just, you know, unhappy and maybe crying all the time. And I'm not saying that it's always that if a baby is crying, then it's because you are not happy when you are pregnant, you know. But I do believe that we actually pass on who we are to our children right from the start. And so it's having those very deep convictions. And then it's also our children, they'll learn, like what my husband was saying, from seeing us. So if they can see us praying, I think it will just be great for the little two-year-old to just run and just find you maybe on your knees. I'm not saying you do it on purpose and say, okay, you come to mommy's room and you'll find mommy on her knees. No, but if that's your routine, then they're definitely going to see that mommy prays all the time. I know one of the things that really helps our families, whenever we get into the car and we're going somewhere, we just say, let's all pray, and we all take turns to pray. And that's how, you know, kids learn. The other day we had a little girl come to stay with us, and she's actually just staying with her auntie and uncle. So she came to spend time with our younger daughter, and we said, you know, and we're all praying, and she didn't know how to pray. And it was a great opportunity for us to teach her and to say, okay, why don't you say this? And that's how you teach them. And I know that we are busy, but take every moment that you have with your children. Don't wait until, you know, you have just a time to sit down and, okay, now we have the Bible study. Put a Bible in the car. And just that can be the book that, you know, you're reading as you're driving around. I think it's really, God provides us with great opportunities to teach his word and to teach our children to pray.
Okay, let's move on to something that can be challenging. Discipline appropriately. This can be challenging. It can be, all kind of issues can fly around, but I'll try and make it very easy to understand as we go forward. Proverbs 22:6. Proverbs 22, verse 6. It says, train a child the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not turn from it. Amen? The key word is training. All right? It's training, training, training. That's the key word. Train a child. It's not just, okay, reacting, reacting, reacting. It's training and training and training. And if you react, it goes the wrong way. For us to discipline our children, we need to distinguish between principle and practice. There are certain things that you teach a child a principle. As they're growing up, for example, very early on, you don't want your child to get used to lying. So you make it very clear that there are consequences to lying. Okay? You never punish them when you're angry. All right? You never punish them like you are punished. Amen? You punish based on what is appropriate for this age, what was done, and can the child understand the punishment? If the child cannot understand the punishment, it's punitive. It's not helping. Does that make sense? You need to ask yourself, am I helping a child at this age to understand? For example, sometimes they're wiggling. Just because when they start wiggling and not behaving on your changing nappies, that can be a challenge. But sometimes just a slight with a finger, sometimes they calm down. They do. So, but what I'm trying to say is this. With this, I'm trying to make sure that we understand that discipline comes to the fact that
If you're disciplining a child, you want to do it from an age where they can understand what you're really dealing with, not at an age where they can't figure it out exactly what's going on. So you want to start early. There's some things you can do early, others you cannot do, and we'll keep going back and forth and seeing which one you can do. Now, I said this between principle and practice. Let me stay with this. Principle is lying, and we'll talk about that. There's lying, stealing, and disobedience. That can start early, and you can deal with that. That's principle, okay? We get our children to understand the principle by consequence. What do you mean? If they steal, then there needs to be a consequence for stealing. If they lie, there needs to be a consequence for lying. If they're disobedient, there needs to be a consequence for that. And so that they understand, you never pass these lines. Those are consequences that help the kids know this is the principle of life. There are things, though, that you cannot punish your child for because you've not trained them for. There's a difference. That's why I'm talking about principle and practice. We like to punish. You don't want to punish for every little thing and you've never trained them. I.e., the child is walking around and there's a glass of water and the child kicks the glass or something happens, it falls down and breaks. And you're screaming. It's a glass of water. We live in the day of Chinese. It breaks. Surely you can afford to wait and go buy another one. Let's go even further. Messes your stereo. He's 2 years old. He messes the stereo or messes the TV. How do you react? And the World Cup is next door. You're yelling, you're saying things, you're spanking with anger. It's just a TV. At age 2, they don't figure it out. They don't know what is what. If you want to be safe, you have to rise it a little bit higher. But if you're going to spank them for TVs and spoiling that, and they grow up not even wanting to touch anything because you're thinking, wow, no. But you're sure you... So they never explore anything. There's so many ways of protecting the children with sockets. You can have the socket blocker instead of beating them all the time because you're trying to explore. So there are different ways you can really, you can parent either defensively by beating them all the time, or you can actually let them explore by making sure the things you're making sure that they're not getting to and you're having the right consequences as they grow. Am I making sense? So those are principles. Certain things you may not be able to. There's a principle and there is a practice that you must ask yourself, have I taught this before I begin spanking? Or before I say no more of this? Or before I say no, have I taught these things? Or am I just reacting and reacting? But there are certain things, surely, you should not be beating your kid for dropping a glass or certain things. That's how they learn. They're going to make a mess before they get good at it. All right? They're not eating so well. They are putting their mouth here. They're eating with their hair. There's training that needs to take place before they really come to the place. And do not say things. Now, how are you eating? And who taught you? Like, who's? You're saying stuff. You're really creating life traps. Scientifically proven, you're putting a lot of things with these kids that create guilt and punitiveness. And we wonder, why are some people so just... so shy, so afraid of things. Check background. You'll be shocked what happened in that home. If we could get a video of what really happened, it'll tell you why they are who they are today.
And I think just based on how we grew up and just, you know, our character and who we are, one of us will tend to be more the disciplinarian and the other one the more liberal one. And in our marriage, I tend to be more the, you know, the disciplinarian. And my husband has really, really helped me, especially to realize that, you know, kids will be kids. And they have to learn, they have to grow, they have to be who they are. And our kids are going to be very different. And I think for us to make sure that we're not comparing, you know, you're not like your sister or, you know, we have two kids who are the opposite, just the very opposite of each other. And we have to remember that. You know, our older daughter, she's just more humble, more obedient, naturally. I mean, I have to pray for us to catch her, you know, lying. And of course we have, you know. But the other one, her sin is more obvious. You know, but then when the older one was growing up, you know, she was more the moody one. you know, and people would come and say, is she okay? You know, because sometimes you also discipline our kids out of, you know, pressure from other people. And actually, I almost felt like people were expecting my daughter to be a disciple. And I'm like, she's not a disciple. She's just a year old. And I just had to learn to say, oh, she's just woken up, or she's not feeling too well. So kids, I mean, if a child is being themselves and being who they're good at being, a child, they will look moody if they're feeling moody. If they're hungry, they're going to cry. Now, I'm not saying that we don't just train them. I think first is teaching. We have to teach them. Just, you know what, it is good to not complain all the time, and then to come up with ways of really helping to reaffirm whatever it is that you're teaching. And I see discipline as just one of the key things that God gave us to really instill what we're trying to teach in our children. Because at the end of the day, they're rebellious by nature. Human beings, we're rebellious by nature. And it will start showing up at an early age. And that's why we do need to be committed to disciplining our children. But then we're saying it has to be appropriate. If we haven't taught them, if we haven't trained them, then I don't believe it's right to then just result in spanking. We have to first teach them, train them, remind them. Kids forget very fast. So we have to remind them, you know, and then if you see they're really not listening, they're not heeding, then you need to, hey, we're going to drive it home. You know, you need to listen to mommy and daddy. And so it's very, very important, I think, for us to make sure that we are helping each other, because then we see each other's weaknesses. And I just want to encourage the sisters to really listen when our husbands say, you know what, honey, I think you're being a bit too, whether just strong or just you're angry, and, you know, and just to listen and to say, okay, how best do I need to be there for my child in this area?
Which means, husbands, you cannot be referees. You're part of the family. So you don't stand us around and say, you're not doing it right. You want to have this conversation as part of the family, not as an outsider. Okay? So you're involved, and you're not isolating your wife, because kids can sense, oh, daddy's nice with me and mommy's more like this. And so you create a wedge. You don't want to do that. You want to be part of the family. Amen? Training produces obedience. All right? The things we're talking about, we're hoping that you'll now go further and start asking questions. We're not going to give you everything. We hope that this will stimulate you to start asking, how do I deal with this? How do I deal with that? Because the cultural issues and all kinds of things that fly in this area, okay? So we hope that what this will do is will get you really wanting to parent and asking questions. But we'll give you a simple framework. Proverbs 19:18. Proverbs 19:18. Are you there? Proverbs 19:18, and I'll rush now because of time. 19:18 says, discipline your son, for in that there is hope. Do not be a willing party to his death. If you don't discipline, there's only one thing that's going to happen. Death. And when we talk about death, it's not physical, but morally, spiritually, and everything goes down. Okay? So children need to get training in what? Bedtime. Yeah, you can train your child what time they go to bed, what time they wake up. You can get a lot of help with this with nurses, and if you got the right place, they can help you how to do all that. Bedtime is a good thing. Feeding schedule, so they don't just eat when they want to eat, because you're teaching from a very early age structure. You understand that? What you don't realize, it goes a long way in holding jobs, in doing other things, having a commitment they can hold together. You need to train that. You also need to train how much time they're spending in front of the TV. It'll affect the academics and other things. So don't let the TV babysit your children. And you know, you put those all small videos and say, okay, you watch that while mommy's working. We need scheduling on all that. Does that make sense? Music as well. And as they grow older, how appropriate is it? It's very important. Appropriate toys. Do not use toys as a bribery to cool your kids down. They need to have to learn at a very early age what is appropriate as you're raising them. Does that make sense? And then respect versus tantrum. When kids are asking for something, they need to learn to say, please, excuse me, and not just throwing a tantrum and you let it happen. I see it in supermarkets. I see it everywhere. And you see how they're manipulating their mothers by just yelling. It shouldn't happen. It shouldn't happen. You need to put your foot down. The small man or woman does not win. Okay? Simple example, we were trying to put our child, we were a bit late with our first child because we were still learning. We put her on a schedule sleeping at age 9 months. She cried the first day. We thought her lungs going to go out. But we were listening and we were afraid of many things. Is she going to choke? What's going to happen? But we stayed. She must have cried like an hour or 2 hours the first time. And then the next day, she cried again, but less. And by the third day, she was on it. Now, some kids can cry for a week. Because there's DNA issues. Maybe they're as strong-willed as you are, so you don't know why I cry. So we don't know what's what, but key thing is, please, don't allow tantrums to go. From a very early age, you teach no tantrums, you teach asking. From a very early age, you don't allow tantrums to fly. Because if they don't know how to respect that from a very early age, they become very difficult people in life later on, okay? Our hearts are revealed by our behavior. Whether you like it or not, what you're putting in on your children will show with your behavior. Now, I'm not saying that everything the show says you are doing a bad thing, but they're in a position where you're molding them. So they'll do a lot of things that are off here and there. So get involved. You're in a molding process now. So don't get guilty. Get in the Word and start training. It's a training process, and there are many things. What works for one child does not work for another. And that's why I don't want to give you one answer, this is what you do. I'm hoping that you start talking and finding out. If you came hoping I'll give this, here's what you do. The problem with that is that it might not work for another kid. It may work for this kid, but not for this kid. Does that make sense? That's why we're staying away from, I'm sure you're thinking, so what should I do? I'm thinking, discuss and find out. All right, let's just finish because of time. Okay, this I think will be the last one. The greatest is love. I know we all know these scriptures, I think. 1 Corinthians 13, 4 to 8. At this stage of life, you communicate love by touch and hugs, kisses, and that can be done with both mom and dad, not just mom. Are we together? Really communicate love, communicate love, communicate love, because love covers all multitudes. Even where you're messing a little bit, the kids will know I am loved anyway. Does that make sense? Lifting them up will be good. Holding their hands, high five, bath. Give them baths, please. Do it. And do it yourself. Don't give that to whoever helps you. Give your children a bath. Fathers, do the same thing. Some people have been asked, how do you remember when your father touched you? He only touched me when he was beating me up. It's terrible. So, all right. These are just five languages. There's bath, massage, to their hair. Do a lot of things with them. Praise them. Praise them. Don't spend your time. If you look at your parenting, do you spend your time correcting, or do you praise your children? Now they need both, but a more dose of praise, because you don't want them feeling so discouraged. Okay, encourage. Good boy, good girl. That's super. Wow. Look at them in an approving, delightful way. When children speak to you at this age, you can tend to ignore them. Teach them to look into your face and look at them. Communicate love. It's amazing what happens to them, the confidence level and how it goes up. And so that's important that you look into them. Yeah, and then finally here we say, be sure to spend quality time with them from an early age at playing. You can play with them. You can play with small kids. People find, you can play with them, just talk to them, do different things. As they get older, fathers, you can roll with them because they're like rolling, and you do different things with them, kick a ball. Sometimes they play mommy and daddy. One of my kids still plays that with me. She says, what do you want to eat today? And I have to order something, and she brings, it's all fake food, but we know we're playing a game. But it's a relationship we're building there. Does that make sense? Making dolls, making dresses. Fathers, please, I want to encourage fathers, because sometimes at this age you are too far out, and if you are involved, it will help your wife not to feel overwhelmed. Please listen to them at this early age, because they start talking to you and sometimes you're not paying attention. And some speak at age 2, others at 2.5, others take a bit longer, but listen to them when they're saying things to you and talk back, because you're modeling what communication is supposed to be. Does that make sense? So listen to them. It does a great thing. I have to rush because of time. Give them gifts that they like, okay? On birthdays, books to color, pencils. And you can also color with them so that you can do things together. There are many things, hearts. There's so many things you can do with these kids. Think about them and love them. Do not see your children as a problem. As much as I like to joke with my girls and tell them, I would be a millionaire if I wasn't taking you to school. I pay so much money. Then they say, we'll buy you this. And I'm only kidding. Just have a good time. Do not have this thing of they're a burden to you. Think about them, love them, and ultimately they enjoy being with you. Serve them and deny yourself in doing so, okay? If they see you doing it well, they will do it eventually in their life. If they see you doing it in anger, they'll do the same thing eventually in their life. Together. We've talked about kicking the ball, but also having special meals with them. And it's good to start early eating with your kids because you teach them table manners, you teach them how to handle one another on the table, and have conversations early. You don't wait for them to graduate to teens or preteens to start those. They'll say, no, we don't like this idea. When did you start it? As we just saw that. Start early to eat with them. If you're going to a restaurant as a family, go along with them and let's see what happens. Start early to expose them and just it works well. It's all part of training. And eventually they can have table manners, to use different small things that they can learn to do at a very early age.
Yeah. So I believe this is the most physical time in terms of the demands on us as parents. You know, we have to give more physically of ourselves to our kids. I know as they grow older, then it's more emotional where you have to listen more and just bear with what they're going through. But this age, you have to really give physically to them. And I just want to encourage the moms, just to make sure that we are fit. And that, if we need to work out, if we need to go on a walk just to feel great and energized and just really able to go home and just have a fun time with our kids. One of the things that really convicted me, even just being in the ministry, I felt like I was out there the whole day giving to everybody else. Then by the time evening came, my husband and my kids got the very last. It's like giving them leftovers. And I really had to just look at my life because I've also had, you know, health challenges. I've had to really read a lot just to make sure that I'm well myself and I'm doing well and I'm strong, you know, physically and emotionally. And the more that happens, then the more I'm able just to give myself to my husband and to my kids. And so I really, moms, let's not just give up and feel like, no, life is too tough and too tiring. You know, our children, they're really, really depending on us. And we need to be able to respond to them when they come pulling at you and say, mommy, come. You know, come, let me show you something. Or sit down and let's play a tea party. You know, we need to be able to just have that energy and zeal to be able to actually sit on the floor before we can even go take that bath and start relaxing and taking care of ourselves. And really, the scheduling, you know, I want to encourage us to put our kids on a schedule so that by a certain time, our kids always went to bed by 7:30, because then you also do need time for you. Because if you don't have that time, then you're going to get so tired, so drained, and you won't be able to give your best to them.
Amen. I think looking at our conclusion here is that above all else, entrust yourself and your children to God. This is not something you can do on your own. You need to go to God a lot. Amen? No matter what time it is, go to God. It will help you. It will help you to continue having a good walk with God. Sometimes we feel like I can't do it because the kid is doing this. Just get any time with God. Don't be so legalistic. Get on with God and let God lead you on this time. First thing you want to read, we have suggestion of books here. But please, the first book to read is the Bible. Amen? The first book to read is the Bible. There are many great scriptures on parenting, and it can help you out for the most time. And also you can share with different ideas that you're doing with each other so that it can help in your homes and go forward. And then you can read the 5 Love Languages, Gary Chapman and Rose Campbell. It'll help you. It's a book that is good. See how children react to that. We have Boundaries with Children. This Henry Cloud and Townsend, you can read that. It just helps you how to put boundaries with children. You need to understand that from time to time. The Quiver, Douglas Jacoby, can help you as well. Raising awesome kids in troubled times, Sam and Gary Lang. Since you have some money, I hope you can go get some of these books over there. You remember the voucher you're given? Yeah. Raising awesome kids, we've done that. And shepherding a child's heart, it's dead. There are tons of knowledge, but the best thing is the Bible. If you use that, it works. We hope in a small way we've helped you to start thinking about raising them and realizing that there's so much you can do. But that only you can do for yourself. There's stuff you get, but there's stuff you have to do. So decide to start somewhere. Start with scheduling or start with getting into scriptures and start with prayer, and God will do the rest for you. Thank you.